The word tumultuous would be an understatement to describe this spring. A novel coronavirus has killed more than 100,000 people in the United States and 550 here in Wisconsin. An effort to ease pressure on healthcare facilities resulted in safer-at-home orders, which closed many businesses for weeks. Those efforts to flatten the curve in turn resulted in record unemployment numbers. And amidst all that, riots in the streets of Minneapolis as another black man dies at the hands of police. We bring in two veteran Western Wisconsin political leaders to provide their insight, perspectives, and possibly some proposed solutions today on the West Side. Glad to have you with us today. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and joining us in a few minutes for our legislative update will be Democratic State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire and Republican State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls. We have with us State Senator Kathleen Bernier. She represents State Senate District number 23, which includes all of Chippewa County, most of Clark County, and the northeast half of Dunn County, central and eastern Eau Claire County, and portions of Trempealeau, Jackson, Wood, and Marathon counties. Jeff Smith is the senator from the 31st District, which includes all of Buffalo and Pepin counties, most of Pierce, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties, southern Dunn County, and western Eau Claire County. And Senator Smith, good to have you along today.
Thanks, Dean. I'm glad to be here.
I'd like to step back and have you reflect on these past 10 weeks from a personal perspective. And Senator Smith, wondering, how are you and the people around you holding up under all this?
Well, it's I was just telling Liz before we got on that I just last night experienced a Zoom call that I was dropped four times before I finally gave up.
Mm.
And so from where I live, and you know, Dean, I'm not far from the station. I'm only about 5 or 6 miles from the station in town of Brunswick, but I have the same sort of issues you're experiencing today pretty often. So on a personal side of things, we make do by making sure that my wife, who has often had to be on calls as well, and myself, we try to time them so we're not at the same time on internet. Or I have had to go thankfully, get permission from the UW-Eau Claire when we needed to be online for our virtual session in the Senate and use their internet from there. And oftentimes an office in Eau Claire, too. I'll just go to borrow an office in Eau Claire and use their internet when I feel I need to be on for a long time during the day because I can't afford to be dropped. So that's an issue that is looming over us, I think, and has been definitely illuminated during this time for a lot of people, whether it be for teaching kids at long distance now, or for telehealth, or whatever it might be, just being able to connect with people. So, it's for me, it's personal. If that's what you're kind of looking for there, but it's a big deal right now.
Senator Bernier, before I was asking Senator Smith about, you know, sort of the, from a personal perspective these last few weeks, you know, how has it impacted you? I'm wondering how Senator Bernier, the pandemic has touched you and your loved ones.
Well, I do have one son who is self-employed, and I did watch most of the DWD hearing. And the assistance coming to the self-employed has just begun liftoff. Fortunately, my other two children have essential working jobs. One is at Marquardt Motors. The other is lab tech, and lab techs are definitely needed during this time. So that's good. Working remotely has its challenges, as we've just experienced. So I had a five-hour meeting yesterday. I'm on the governor's task force for caregiver task force. So I've been working remotely. Amazingly, we are probably sitting at a table or a desk in front of the computer with Zoom and electronic devices, which has its limitations, to say the least. So aside from that, I've gotten a whole lot of yard work done.
Yeah, Yeah, my dandelions are having their best year ever. As you've heard from constituents during the pandemic, Senator Smith, what are the main concerns you've been hearing from people in the 31st?
Well, I think Senator Bernier touched on that already as well. I'm sure every office is the same. We are desperately trying to help those who have lost their jobs through this crisis, and hopefully they will get them back when we recover. But we're trying to help them through this unemployment insurance puzzle that they have run up against. So many people have never had to go through this before and are new to that, and all the other things that they have never had to experience before. So my office, as well as every office in that capital, I think, is putting a lot of extra effort into helping constituents wade through that process with the Department of Workforce Development that was not prepared for the flood that they have been experiencing during this natural disaster.
Yeah. What are you hearing from constituents, Senator Bernier? What are the themes?
Desperation. It's heart-wrenching. Matter of fact, this morning I was preparing for you to call me, and so my phone had just my home phone, which is my office phone for my in district, a friend, an old friend, and called again with, now I'm in adjudication, I am now getting desperate. And the problem is he had 2 years ago had what was on short-term disability, and DWDD determined that as an income. And he said it was an insurance policy, not an employer, and they considered it an employer. Now, clearly there's a glitch in the system, and we've reached out to our liaison at DWD to straighten this out, and it's not straightened out. You know, that's a frustration all the way up and down for all of our constituents. Are, you know, like Senator Smith said, that this may be the first time that they have ever claimed unemployment, and their first time is the worst time.
Our guests are State Senator Kathy Bernier and State Senator Jeff Smith of Western Wisconsin. 800-228-5615 is the number for you to call if you'd like to try to join the conversation. I can't promise anything, but we'll try. Another option for you, though, that's probably a little more reliable this morning would be emailing us at ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org, and I can read your question and have the senators respond to it, or read your comment and have the senators respond. 800-228-5615 or email ideas@wpr.org. So far, compared to other parts of the state and other parts of the country, the coronavirus itself has not made a big impact here in Western Wisconsin. We've not seen hospitals overwhelmed as they have been in places like New York or even in the state in Milwaukee. Senator Smith, was the statewide safer at home order by the Evers administration an overreaction?
Not at all. I don't think, and I think at least for the start, I know I've heard from Senator Bernier as well that at the beginning that was the right call. I think that then as things progress that we probably have different views of how it should have been handled and should continue to be handled. But that it was not a overreaction at all. I mean, first of all, it's a situation that none of us have lived through before. And the only thing we can look back at is an experience from 100 years ago and what was needed at that time. And even the interesting thing is to see some of the footage from back then. And I just saw that interesting one where everyone was wearing a mask. It looked like today. So we know that those are the things that have to be done as as science and the professional health professionals dig into this and find all the answers for us so that we can eventually come up with the solutions that let us go back to our normal life. But I don't think it was an overstretch at all to do what we did.
The Republican leadership in the legislature successfully sued to have the statewide orders removed, but they didn't have a plan to replace it. Senator Bernier, was that short-sightedness on the part of your party leaders?
Well, no, we did have a plan. We worked on a plan, and we gave it to the Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce, feeling that it would be better received by the governor if it came from a non-political entity. So what, it's a misconception that we didn't have a plan. We did have a plan. We worked on a plan, fine-tuned it with Wisconsin WMMC out of Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, as well as the university medical, I forget what the exact name, but anyway, there were medical professionals also consulted on the plan. As it turned out, with the Supreme Court ruling, it didn't give an opportunity to work on that plan because that decision just plain opened it up. So, you know, in hindsight, the governor, it would have been great if the governor would have met with the heads of the legislature, both Democrat and Republican on the front end. And I had asked Acting Secretary Pohm about a month in after the shutdown, and as Senator Smith indicated, I thought at the time shutting down, you know, the governor did the right thing just to know where we're at and how to proceed. The problem is he didn't grasp any of the WMC's back-to-business plan. Acting Secretary Pohm, when I asked her, you know, what are the plans to begin to open up, you know, being foresighted, and the reply was, there is none. We don't expect that we will be in that position until fall. Well, the citizens of the state of Wisconsin were not going to wait until fall so that they would completely lose their livelihoods, their homes, and everything they own.
But the governor did have, and some of these had already taken place between the time that the Supreme Court heard the arguments from till the time that they made the ruling. There were steps to getting back that the governor was taking, so there was a plan, it appears, in place, at least to some extent, to return back, you know, to as close to normal as we could.
Correct. However, the legislature and the business community wanted a seat at the table. The Badger Bounce Back Plan came out over a weekend without having anyone else at the table. And just as with the shutdown, there was no one else at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to get pushback when you don't have representatives at the table.
Both Eau Claire and Dunn counties have issued orders limiting the size of gatherings and instituting some other rules that affect businesses and individuals. Eau Claire put theirs in place pretty quickly after the Supreme Court ruling. Dunn County got theirs in place this week. Now, Eau Claire just revised theirs, limiting the sizes of groups to 20 people instead of the previous order of 10. Dunn County's limit is still 10. And as far as I know, and I've tried to research this as much as possible, I don't think there are any other counties in western Wisconsin that have issued orders. They've issued guidelines. They've said, you know, look to the WMC or look to the CDC to find the guidelines that you should be following. Some say since the governor's order was struck down by the state Supreme Court that the counties don't have authority to impose such rules either. Now, you've got your background prior to the legislature was in county government.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you come down on those orders? Do you think that they're legal and are they appropriate?
Well, I guess we have a lot of lawyers for a reason. So because the Supreme Court rejected the overall authority of the Secretary of the Department of Human Services to act unilaterally. If you broadly interpret that to also include the county public health officers, then that interpretation would be correct, that they don't have unilateral authority. Now, I have alleged counsel opinion that pretty much says that the county public health officer does, and I agree to a certain extent because at the local level, there are epidemics and situations where the public health officer needs to act and act quickly. When there are high bacteria counts in swimming areas, in various other situations where they need to act to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their constituents. So I firmly believe they have some authority there by statute to act on behalf of their county residents. I advocated, you know, after a couple months of shutdown for DHS to allow for regional decisions to be made according to the cases that are in that and in those counties and in those areas. So I believe the public health officers do have that. The county public health officers have that authority, but they also have the responsibility to work under the county boards. It's more local, and the citizens have local representation to go to and to discuss their concerns.
I believe the Dunn County orders are through the county board, if I'm not mistaken. Senator Smith.
Well, I would remind us all here that just this past week, the Supreme Court refused the next lawsuit that had been filed, which pretty much opened the door to that question again, and pretty much gave the counties a little more direction or a little more feeling of security that what they're doing is correct and legal. So the Supreme Court chose not to step in on that, and I think that was a good choice this time. At least we have the protections of our county health officers, who, by the way, I consider, like Lise Gagizi and Eau Claire and others, have been heroes in this and continue to be as the pressure has fallen on their shoulders now after that Supreme Court decision took the power away from the state. So they've really stepped up and continue to step up, and they are the professionals that we should be listening to and paying attention to and taking this very seriously.
Well, Senator,
I'm proud of them.
May I hop in here, Dean? Actually, even during the time that the directives and the orders were being handed down through the state agency, it is at the county level that they follow through on it anyway. So they always had that responsibility. They just continue to have that responsibility.
Senator Smith, your district includes most of Pierce County, including Ellsworth, Prescott, Spring Valley, and the towns surrounding the city of River Falls. Yesterday, the county health officer, A.Z. Snyder, raised concerns about a spike of coronavirus cases in that county. The numbers have grown from 14 to 24 in just 2 weeks. The county opted to issue an advisory after the statewide order was rescinded, but those guidelines don't have the force of law. Do you expect that was a factor in the spike of cases in Pierce County?
Well, it's all up for speculation, right? I can't speak to that because we could all just speculate on why things happen. But I will remind everyone also that a place like Pierce County and St. Croix County, they're bedroom communities to the Twin Cities. So the large population areas definitely are at greater risk, and when they travel back home or whatever they do in Wisconsin, they may carry it with them. So that's always going to be a risk in places like that. So when we are talking about these counties that are closer to the large municipalities or large urban areas, they definitely should be on alert all the time as to what might be coming back into their county.
When the statewide orders were overturned by the state Supreme Court, we saw a video on social media from bars that had reopened that night. Rebecca Mariscal from the Star Observer this week reported that Minnesotans, where the bars were still closed, flooded across the border to bars in Hudson and other border towns in Wisconsin over Memorial Day weekend. Bars that now have the right to be open. That's probably not an ideal situation, but how can those hospitality industries that have really been hammered by the restrictions on gatherings come back, but come back safely?
Well,
And that's for Senator Smith. I'm sorry. I tried, but Senator Smith, if you'd grab that one first.
All right, I'll grab that one first. So, what I think is going to come out of all of this, in hopefully, is American ingenuity, right? Is the thing people might relate to, is that all these industries are going to come back with a different approach to a lot of things, whether it be people working from home more than they were before. And then also definitely like what you're suggesting is these industries that where gatherings take place, there's going to be a different way people walk into a place and what they than they did before. A little more caution, you know, whether they are constantly going to have sanitizing efforts, whether it be hand sanitizer, whether it be wearing masks, whether it's going to be where the tables and chairs are placed, or I mean, there's just going to be a different look to everything, and something we will eventually all get used to, and probably not think twice about down the road. But in the meantime, I definitely still we have to take all the precautions that our health officials are telling us to take, and that is number of persons in each location and the distance that we have between people.
Senator Berner, you were vocal about the need to reopen these parts of Wisconsin that didn't have significant numbers of COVID-19 cases. Are you concerned about people traveling to western Wisconsin from places where the virus has been more prominent?
Well, you know, like I said before, you know, the science keeps changing, which, you know, Dr. Fauci has changed his opinions several times. I think as Senator Smith indicated, you know, we're in new territory. I think even for the scientists, when we say we're going to follow the science seems to be evolving quite often. And so it's a challenge. But the social distancing and the sanitizing and hand washing and not touching your face, that has not changed. That's always been pretty consistent. So I think that as long as our businesses do that, and at some point we're going to have to rely on people to be responsible and conscious and all of that. To be perfectly honest, I had purchased Airbnb for June 12th. 8 months ago, I kept my reservation. I'm taking my grandchildren up to Cable. We're going to go down the Lazy River, and we need to get our lives back to normal, but be cognizant of safeguards.
800-228. Go ahead. Let me give the number. 800-228-5615 is the number. And just what I'm going to do, and an abundance of caution is a phrase we've heard a lot, but as an abundance of caution, we'll take your statement and Kate will write it up and I'll be able to read it. We're not going to try to put you on the air because it doesn't seem to be working today. And we also email us at ideas@wpr.org. And we do have a couple of emails that I want to get to shortly. Senator Smith, you wanted to respond.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Senator Bernier, all of us are trying to find our ways along here and what the best way to approach all this is. But I want us to keep in mind when we talk about this reopening regionally, for instance, one of the statistics that is out there that is close to 78% of all of our early cases in Wisconsin, based on analysis of genetic samples, came from a line of virus associated with the outbreak in New York City. And that's from Urban Milwaukee, the magazine Urban Milwaukee reported that. Well, this illustrates how easily transmissible this virus is. And if we can't contain the virus in one state, how are we going to expect to contain it in one small region area of the state? So I think we have to be cautious when we think about opening up one area, not another. How it can be, how people are going to move this virus along with them. And they don't know they're carrying it. That's always, I got to keep reminding people of that. You know, wearing a mask, for instance, is not about protecting yourself. It's about the fact that you don't know if you might be carrying this virus and transmit it to somebody else. So this is just something we all want to be sure we're always aware of and be wary of when we think we're going to be able to move around the state or around the country.
Let's move to some questions. Donna emails us and asks, Senator Bernier, what is the criteria that is needed in order for the Republican legislators to cooperate with the governor to keep Wisconsin citizens safe in this pandemic? What does the number of new coronavirus cases per day have to be? How many deaths per day, et cetera? And why aren't the current numbers sufficient for cooperation?
Well, I think, you know, the governor has the authority for 60 days. He turned his authority over to the DHS director when, in fact, he could have met with the legislature and talked about the ideas and questions, concerns, suggestions. So it's not that the legislature won't work with him. He has not opened up the door to work with us on the front end. It was toward the end when the Supreme Court was about to rule, and Senator Fitzgerald during caucus said that he met with the chief of staff, he met with the governor, and the comment about let's see what we can do together, whatever, and the governor's comment was, well, let's wait and see what the Supreme Court says. So when people think it is not us who want to work with him, I believe it's more the other way around.
Senator Smith, your response, if you've got one. The question is directed to Senator Bernier.
I almost hate to open this door, but if we want to talk about the front end, let's talk about December of 2018 and what the legislature did to handcuff the governor along the way and chose from that point on to not work with this governor. And why would the governor think that he can't work with this legislature? I think your answer starts right there. And then all along the way, when we hear, especially Representative Voss, who says it's dead in the water, any proposal the governor has regarding opening up the state or the Badger bounce back or anything after the Supreme Court ruling, he said is dead in the water. So I don't know that the governor has had much choice but to try to work through with his health secretary to try to do the right thing, because he has not had any indication that the leaders of the Republican caucuses are willing to work with him at all.
Now, you both serve on the Senate Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rural Issues, where Senator Bernier is the chair. Our April election made national news, not for the contests on the ballot, but for the concern over in-person voting in the midst of the pandemic. We have some more elections coming up in August and November, and Senator Smith, I'll go to you first, but how have those conversations in the committee gone as it relates to our fall election?
Well, we haven't had, and Senator Bernier would have to answer about this too. But we haven't had any committee meetings or hearings specifically about this, and I don't know that we will. From all indications, I know 2 weeks ago at Eggs and Issues, Senator Bernier said that there was no expectation at all that we were going to be called in to have any hearings or any votes on anything new in the legislature. So I guess she would know best, because the leadership is from the majority party will determine whether or not we actually have an opportunity to discuss new legislation.
Well, Senator Bernier, I'll let you go to that. And I also wanted, the State Elections Commission voted unanimously to send applications for absentee ballots to Wisconsin registered voters. President Trump has been very vocal of late. It's in the news again this morning, as a matter of fact, been very vocal against the expansion of mail-in ballots. Where are you on that issue, and will your committee, you know, take any action on that or any other issues relating to the fall election?
Well, Senator Smith was on the bill that actually was precipitated by Representative Kitchens and a Democrat representative from that area. They came to me with their ideas. one of the problems we experienced in April is that we had large municipalities funnel a whole lot of Election Day activity into very few polling places. So that bill is going to address that, as well as just if we want to get as many people as possible to vote absentee, then our local clerks need additional funding and staff to accommodate that. But we're not going to just blanketly send out mail-in ballots. I don't know of any state who hasn't worked on that for many years that is going to be able to go that route. It is not wise to do so. There would be deadlines for even filing an absentee ballot. We would not have Election Day registration. We would not have polling places in each municipality. There would be a lot of things we would not have if we went to all mail ballots. So that's a long job to get mail-in ballots ready to roll. But we can send out postcards to encourage people to vote absentee, but with that, they need to provide the proper documentation and all of that. And that is what was also in the bill. But the Elections Commission is dealing with that option mm-hmm. without having to have legislative action.
Very good. Ideas at WPR.org is a way you can email Senator Bernier and Senator Smith if you'd like to ask them a question or make a comment. Let me go to Bruce now in Eau Claire, who wrote to us and said, I would ask Senator Bernier today if you could challenge your party's leadership and do what your voters in your district are asking you to do, would you support nonpartisan redistricting legislation? And census is taking place now. Redistricting will be part of the upcoming legislature's duties. Is that something you'd favor? Is a different way to redistrict, Senator Bernier?
Well, I'm a realist, and I've broached this position. I had a informational meeting talking about the different ways. But the fact of the matter is I am, whether I'm in favor of nonpartisan redistricting or I don't believe in nonpartisan because everybody has a political opinion. I would consider it a bipartisan type thing. But this time around, we do have the governor as part of the checks and balances on redistricting. So with that, that is likely the direction it's going to go.
And I'll jump in here, too. I mean, obviously, I think Senator Bernier knows that this is an important issue that I harp on quite a bit over time. And I believe in nonpartisan redistricting. I think the bill that we have introduced in the past should be given consideration at least, if not passed. And we should have what the governor has already proposed in from his and actually is going to do, and that is to appoint a panel to draw maps. I know that the Republican leadership won't accept those maps, but at least it's a step in the right direction to an exercise to demonstrate how it can work. And just because, and I agree, we do now have a governor that will help get us through this process so that we have a little better balance. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be looking ahead and making sure that this never happens again, that we don't have this sort of thing, this sort of gerrymandering type of redistricting that has really pushed us way beyond the way we should be behaving as far as partisanship and bickering in this legislature. I think we could do a much better job and be working for the constituency that we are elected to serve if we were not at the mercy of our political leaders rather than being at the mercy of our voters. That's where we should, that's the only place we should be worried about is our voters and where their needs are based and their concerns.
Catherine from Hudson called and asked, she says she observes little social distancing in downtown Hudson, even if we are trying to rely on people to do the right thing. who's going to patrol this in downtown, especially bars? Jeff Smith, do you have any advice for Catherine on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's a really good question, because it's a very difficult position to put law enforcement in to, or whomever should be responsible for enforcing any rules, right? So that's why you're seeing, like you mentioned earlier, only two counties in western Wisconsin have really set down rules, where most of them are really working with guidelines. And I know, for instance, after this call, I'll be on a call with Pepin County and their health department in that regard. And Heidi there talks often about visiting with businesses and working with these businesses and working with people and answering these questions and trying to get these guidelines implemented through a more public relations type of way. And I'm not sure if that'll work necessarily for everybody, but I think that's where we're at, because we have a Supreme Court that has ruled that the state can't actually pass rules that they can enforce, and counties, of course, are not sure if they can enforce rules. So we're really at a place where we're going to have to rely on people stepping up as individuals and businesses stepping up and doing the right thing as we work our way through this, because this is not going to go away in a short time. We're going to be facing this for a long time.
COVID-19 actually got bumped from the headlines this week by the Memorial Day death of George Floyd, the African-American man who suffocated after a Minneapolis police officer kneeled on his neck for several minutes. We've seen demonstrations and rioting just across the border in the Twin Cities, and we had a call from Salika in Eau Claire asking both senators, what are both parties in the Chippewa Valley doing to reach out to the Black community in the wake of the George Floyd killing, and how will they work together in a bipartisan manner to prevent racial violence in the Chippewa Valley? And Senator Bernier, I'll let you answer that first.
Well, I think what happened is an absolute tragedy, and my heart goes out to that family and the African-American community. I think we all recognize that there are travesties and racial division. And it all starts with every single human being, that we respect other human beings, no matter the color, the race, the ethnicity, the creed. That is what we can do as individuals. The rioting doesn't help the situation whatsoever. It makes the matters worse. I watched that, and I just I'm at a loss. I think most people are. It's like, how do you make things better when we go from bad to worse? And we work with our communities, our counties, our municipalities as a state legislature. I think every one of us has a connection to our municipalities within our districts. I think that's where we work together. I have a large Hispanic community. I have a large Hmong community. And I like to stay connected to those communities, whether it's through the education systems or any other organization. And so that's how we can work together for good relations with our citizens, no matter their race or ethnicity.
Senator Smith, in the 45 seconds we have left, would you like to respond to Salika?
Great. Salika, thanks for asking. I'm bringing this up today. I don't even know how to respond the last couple of days. It made me cry. I was choked up and crying when I watched the footage of what happened. There's no excuse. And when it comes to the rioting, I just read a tweet that was from Martin Luther King III, who said his father had said before something to the effect that rioting is the voice of the people who have no voice. And that's what we need. We need to understand why that rioting is happening. It is a desperate plea for help, this is the only way you'll pay attention to us. We have got to make this stop now. That police officer must be held responsible and charged with murder. And even the mayor has called for that. These are the things that they're asking for, and it is something that needs to happen.
State Senators Kathy Bernier and Jeff Smith, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On-air production for today's show, and she did a yeoman's job, Kate Spranger. Next week, we talk farming here in western Wisconsin. What effect has our slumping economic situation had on food production agriculture? We'll spend our next show talking about it this time next week on this station. I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side.